Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Scarycast. We're coming to you live tonight from Kingsport, Tennessee, the home of the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. It started today at about 11 o'clock a.m. We've had a great lineup of speakers, guests, vendors, so it's been a lot of fun. Everyone will have to come join us. And I will say this, this morning, William Henry, one of our guest speakers, noted some stick structures in the lot just adjacent to the Farmstead Museum where we're having our Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. And we took a lot of pictures, and they're truly legitimate. They really are. So we'll be sharing those on the internet here on Facebook here just a couple of minutes after once we're done with our show tonight. But anyway, I'd like to introduce one of my fun favorite people, Robin McCray. How are you doing tonight?
I'm great. Thanks for having me back on, John.
Absolutely. We're always glad to have you. And you were speaking today at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, and people enjoyed
it.
It was
great. Yeah, we had a great group of people there. They had some really good questions. I mean, really good. And after I got them speaking, they came back to the table to talk, and they were wonderful.
Yeah, it was a good time. Well, tonight we are fortunate to have a writer. He's a horror writer. He writes some good, scary stuff, and I mean scary in a good way. Justin Young, from Edgefield, South Carolina, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, John. How are you doing, Robin?
I'm doing great. We're so glad you're with us.
Absolutely.
Glad to be here.
So it's really neat. I mean, we're all living in South Carolina, and it's wonderful to find artists and writers that are from the Palmetto State that we can support and talk to and get some airtime coverage. Now, you write horror, and I wanted to ask, here's your pop quiz question. Tell us, what is your favorite horror story that you have written, and tell us a little bit about it. What's the story, and where is it available?
Well, I have several stories that are published, but if I had to pick a favorite, it'd probably be the one that was released yesterday, and that's in the Halloween edition of Lovecraftiana magazine. It's called The Inquisitor and the Heretic. Now, it's about a witch hunter from the 18th century who runs into an old enemy, and I have some flashbacks in the story, you know, that go into the history of it. But really, the more interesting part of the story is what happened after I began to write it, which is what led to me writing my website and some of the more interesting things I've been looking into around Edgefield itself.
Okay.
And
so
that's what's kind of led me to here.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about the story. How does it, you don't have to give away the ending, but tell us what happened in the beginning. Is it okay?
Right, it's a short story. You know, I'm a short story writer because, you know, my inspirations are H.P. Lovecraft and basically the pulp magazines, Weird Tales, Robert E. Howard, that sort of thing. So really, at the beginning, I'm just introducing my main character, who is my main character in my series, Nathaniel Bowen, who is a witch hunter. And I'm introducing him and his having an introspection as he's going up this tower to this man that he's been looking to capture all these years, and kind of raising your intrigue as to, man, what's the history between these two guys?
That sounds really good. Now, is it out in book form, or do you have it up on a website, or what is the best way to be able to find this?
Now, this is available via Horrified Press, but since it's been released, I am going to be releasing it via my website, so it will be available on there within the next few days, and I do have a story on there available now, which is basically a prequel to that, if you're intrigued. It kind of ties it all together, because I write within a sort of universe.
Well, let's get that website out there so people can see it and they know where to go.
Right. That's MonstersMadnessAndMagic.com. We're on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. Also, Monsters, Madness, and Magic. We're on Twitter under the same handle, and you can also find me on Twitter at J.R. Young Fiction.
Great. I love the name for the website. That's great.
Thanks.
I would imagine it would be
I'm a sucker
popular
for alliteration.
Well, I know, like, my kids, oh, my gosh, they were such the horror movie buffs.
Oh, yeah.
So I would imagine at least you would have quite a bit. I mean, not that you wouldn't have, you are, probably have a huge following anyway, but I would imagine the kids just go crazy.
I mean, I don't have a huge following. I do have a few readers, but I don't know. I guess so.
Now, I've got a question for you, and don't take this the wrong way, but what is a witch hunter? What kind of witches do they hunt, and what do they do to them when they get them?
Okay, now this is definitely a witch hunter in a sword and sorcery sense, not your not a witch hunter in the Matthew Hopkins historical sense. This is more of a, there's some supernatural elements going on in this fictional universe, and this is a guy who is there to stop him.
Okay, so this is
it would be sort of a he's kind of morbidly questionable himself. You know, this is a tough word.
That's really cool. I'm going to have to go on there and read it.
That's funny. So that brings up, I guess, another interesting point. So this type of a witch hunter is looking for the, quote, bad guy, and they're going to stop them at all costs, correct?
At all costs. That's the key.
At all costs, because it's fiction, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
We might be like Gandalf. Go ahead, Rob.
When you go to write these, and I've always wondered about this, I've never actually met anybody that wrote them, so this is a golden opportunity. Where do you get your ideas from? I mean, do you research on this, or just can you kind of take us through the process?
Well, it definitely depends on the story. So if it's more fantasy based, I like to do a lot of reading in the genre that I write. And then maybe even I like to listen to a lot of audio dramas from 1930s horror radio. It kind of gets me in that kind of mood because that's the style I like.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I'll maybe if I get an idea, I'll roughly outline it, listen to some things I like, kind of get me in the mood for what I'm trying to write. And if it requires a bit of research, you know, depending on the main character, what's his job, do I have to fake being a doctor? You know, it's just, it depends on whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, because I wondered how you would do that, because it is fictional. You know, I just was curious. I always have been on the fiction books, and how do you do the research for it? Because it's not a true book. Like when I write, and I write, and then I don't put anything out. So I let John put my stuff out, or I let Igor Borstov put my stuff out. But, you know, mine is all nonfiction. So it's easy for me. I just have to sit in front of the computer and I just let it kind of spew out. You know, so I've always been really intrigued about with the nonfiction, you know, how
it's
you would go
the
through
same,
that
really.
Process.
You have a general idea, maybe something to, when you're watching something, you get an idea or a nugget from here or a nugget from there. And you kind of just snowball it over time, really.
Now, how long have you been writing?
Well, I've been writing a few years, but I haven't been seriously trying to write fiction but a year and a half.
Okay, great.
And
well,
the website also is focused on nonfiction as well. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Now, what nonfiction books do you have out?
No. I don't have any nonfiction books. I was just saying that the website, we also do nonfiction articles and kind of a conspiracy deep dive.
I'm going to check out the website.
Things
it sounds
such
really
a,
good.
Yeah, it's kind of like a pulp press, you know. We try to be, it's kind of like an entertainment kind of deal.
Yeah. Well, the name of it,
that you would buy in a, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Justin, you said something that I just caught the tail end of, but it sounded great. You said you do some conspiracy theory things.
Right.
That would be interesting.
Fill us in on that. Yeah.
Well, right. You want to go in a little bit on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'd like to say first off that it's not just me on the website. Like, I'm definitely the man behind the curtain, but we have lots of contributors that dive into different sorts of things and cover different topics.
Oh, great.
So I have definitely have some friends that you might be interested in because they definitely have a lot to say. And a lot of this comes from them. You know, I'm not the only one researching this stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So let me, let's see here.
I love nothing better than a good conspiracy theory, Justin.
Oh, well.
I mean, heck, I run the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. How could I not want conspiracy theory?
Oh, yeah,
exactly.
Definitely. Like how
we deal with conspiracy theories whether we want to or not, huh, John?
You got it.
Yeah, right.
You got it, Bobby.
Now, I just want to say I've definitely just scratched the surface on this, but just locally, I'm trying to find my notes here.
Well, it sounds like you're headed in the right direction.
Right. We're trying to, you know, we try to offer a little bit of everything, you know, everything for somebody.
Yeah.
So the UT Indians are local to Edgefield. Now, they started out in Tennessee, and they eventually made their way south, down in the South Carolina, Georgia, Savannah area. And now the interesting thing about that is even if you just look at their language, it's unlike any other native language known. It doesn't borrow anything from any language. In fact, some of the oldest native languages borrow from it.
Wow.
Okay, so.
That's amazing.
Let's see. They claim direct descent from the sun and that their ancestors flew down from space and gave them their mound building capabilities. So their roots are very old. And they were a part of a trade system that existed in the old world before the arrival of some of the local native tribes, you know, part of the old world trade system of the Mayas.
Oh, okay.
And if you look at non-native representations of what Yuchi means, you'll see things like people from far away or people from over there, things like that. But if you look at what the natives refer to them as, it means people. Sorry, children of the sun.
Okay.
Now, what makes that interesting is they have a fairy lore that is almost identical to Irish fairy lore.
Oh, really?
Right. In North Augusta, which is within 14 miles down this back road, right behind the house here, is home to the largest community of Irish travelers in North America, Murphy Village. Now, they migrated here in the 1840s, and it's estimated there would have been about 500 to 700 Yuchi Indians still in the area at that time, co-mingling with these Irish travelers in the same area that, you know, the Yuchi have these stories about these beings coming down from space and giving them culture, mingling with the Irish fairy travelers. You know, the connections between Irish fairy lore and alien abductions are, you know all about that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It's like, this is a hotbed right here.
You know what? It's amazing that they're just everywhere. I mean, once you get in my case, you know, I deal with the Bigfoot, I deal with the Dogman, I deal with all the cryptids, I deal with the ETs, I deal with the dimensionals, the elementals, the fairies, you name it. That's what I deal with. That's what I do. And people are just so unaware that they're just everywhere, literally everywhere. I went out and I did some work in Pennsylvania, and the girl that I went to her house, you know, she had fairies in her yard, you know, and we literally got pictures. Mm. You know, I have a friend in Texas, the same thing there. I was just amazed at all the people that really came forward when I started talking about it. And, you know, I do mostly Bigfoot stuff, but I end up involved in all of it. And they all had the pictures of them. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, if you just begin to look and scratch the surface, it just stops popping up and it's uncanny.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of that lore is from people seeing it.
Right, it's there for a reason.
Robin, we had a neat thing happen at Tennessee Bigfoot Conference today. Our good friend Janice Carter's daughter, Holly, is with us. And someone looked at Holly and said, "Well, do you know about the elementals?" And I was interested to see if Holly knew that terminology, which does mean fairy
elements. I'm sure she did.
And she did, and she started describing them. And it was really interesting. Someone just came up and asked her that out of the blue, because a lot of people do connect fairies and elves and gnomes with the Bigfoot community. Good as anything.
They do.
Right.
They all hang around. I mean, once you they're all energy-based beings. We're energy-based. And all that energy, they kind of hang on to each other. You know, they feed off that raw energy, and they do. They all hang out. We had a girl that came to the table where we were selling the books, and she was, you know, talking about, she has elementals at her place. And I said, yeah, I was aware of what they were. And, you know, we had a nice conversation about it. But, yeah, they tend to show up.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I've just begun to scratch the surface on that. And then that was definitely intriguing.
Well, yeah, it sounds interesting.
Now,
what are you looking
have you ever had
to do next?
Go ahead, Robin. Yeah.
I'm sorry, John. I'm excited. I've never got to talk to anybody that actually writes horror stories, so I'm sorry. What is in the future for you?
I'm sorry. I couldn't catch that.
All right, so what's in the future for you? Are you working on another one, or what is coming up next for you?
Oh, yeah. I'm constantly working. These series of shorts that have been released in the magazines are just part of a larger plan that I have. I'm connecting all these together, and I'm planning on building this. The main thing is I'm building the website up to house all these stories, ideas, themes, and just basically be a stop and go for everything you need, conspiracy, horror, base, whatsoever.
Wow, that's great.
So, yeah, I'm
full-time. You want to do this full-time, Justin? Sounds like you do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's definitely the goal. I got some people that have some things to say. You know, I got some help, and I'm definitely down for it, so.
Wow, that's great. And have you ever seen any of these fairies or any of these characters that you write about? Or are you just still waiting on that to happen?
I can't say that I've seen anything, but I definitely do have weird things happen, you know. I notice little synchronicities and whatnot, but I can't say that I've seen anything, no.
Wow. I know if you'd been to Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, a lot of us have, and it's quite remarkable. But, you know, if you just keep on hanging out in that field, you'll do that. So what are the plans you've got for any upcoming works? Because I know you said you just had this one out. What kind of things are you working on now?
Well, what I'm working on now is definitely continuing that. I'm making that a serialized novella, so I'm going to be releasing those, trying to release two a month on the site. So if you're interested in the story, it's going to be updated, and we're going to be having constant content rolled out. The plan is to have designated days for, you know, a certain cover conspiracy topic, cover. I also have different topics on the website where I just cover figures from history that are perhaps controversial and little historical nuggets.
That sounds really
interesting. You can just go on there and click around, and I'm sure you'll find something that you like.
It sounds really interesting.
We're all going to do it. It really, really does. Now,
yeah.
How long have you been writing, Justin?
Well, I've been writing for about 4 or 5 years, but I haven't been seriously writing fiction but for a year or so. I had some early success, but like I said, I'm definitely not a veteran.
Well, you keep on.
It sounds like you're on your way up.
Yep, and good things will happen. When do you plan on getting your next story out for us to read?
Well, the current one that's up there, the following, the one that is the sequel to that will be up there within the next day or so. And then the sequel to that, the following one after that will be up by the end of the next month.
Wow, that's a smart thing to do, keep that production line going so you can continue to develop your craft and everything. So,
exactly.
You've never thought about writing anything about Bigfoot or Lizard Man, huh?
Well, in the line of fiction, everything's on the table. I won't turn down any avenues of creation there.
That's great.
If a Bigfoot story comes to me, best believe I write it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's good.
Because that, now, Robin,
just don't make him
agree that, would that be kind of part of the mind speak thing if he gets a really good crystal clear idea in his head and then writes it down?
It's possible. It really is, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, in the wackiest ways, they'll like jump in and just start telling you things. And mind speak can be a suggestion put in your mind and you don't understand where that suggestion came from. You know, it came from somewhere. It may not have come from you, but it did come from somewhere. And that is a form of mind speak. So it's entirely possible. Now, when we did the T-shirts for our Hominology project, a Bigfoot named Samuel that lives up in the Appalachian Mountains popped in and was mind speaking with me, and he said, you know, I will do this for my people and you can use me and the drawing. You know, everybody who knows me knows I can't even draw an egg. It's not even a possibility. So we have a phenomenal local artist by the name of Melissa Pierce. We absolutely love her. And I talked to her and I said, Melissa, you know, will you do this for me? And she's a friend who is just the dearest thing. She said, of course. So Samuel would mind speak to me and he would show me pictures of himself. And then I would in turn tell Melissa and Melissa would draw it. And I'm really pleased with it. It's just beautiful. She did an amazing job. But that was all done through mind speak. So it's entirely possible, if this is something that you want to do and you're sitting there and you're thinking about it, is it possible for them to speak into you and tell you that, you know, let's do this or do it? Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, they will do that. Other things will do that as well, not just them. I mean, anything out there like that can speak telepath and telepathy. They just can't. But people miss it because they aren't anticipating it, and we've been taught to believe it doesn't exist, yet another conspiracy theory. And
right.
So people don't accept it when they get it. But it's entirely possible, and it can come in many different forms. So maybe they will pitch in and give you some inspiration.
Yeah, I will take it. Trust me. I'll take all the avenues. But like I said,
Well, I would love to read it if Clinton, you do it.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's tons of other, there's tons of little conspiracy nuggets on the side if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting. I'm going to definitely have to check that out.
Yeah, now Justin, if you want to hear a conspiracy theory, and Robin, this goes for you too, do you want to know what my favorite conspiracy theory is?
Yeah.
What's that?
Are you ready? My favorite conspiracy theory is that Anna Nicole Smith is still alive and lives in North Myrtle Beach, and that the lady and the son who were killed were body doubles.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's very possible.
See, mine is the Elvis one. I have to go back to the Elvis one, because remember, there's that guy now, that preacher, Jesse, whatever his last name is, and he looks like him, he walks like him, he sings like him, same mannerisms, everything. And
wow.
he just finally came forward a few years ago. Somebody found him, he's a preacher.
Whoa.
So now there's a huge conspiracy theory with that one.
Oh yeah, I can see why, and I can definitely buy Anna Nicole Smith being in North Myrtle Beach. That's the place she would go.
Well, here's what happened, and it was fairly common knowledge that she used to live with a real estate developer, a very wealthy guy in North Myrtle Beach, and everybody kept seeing her, and even when the calamity hit. I think if you look at those photos very carefully, you will see that what you've got is a body double. Now, that's just me. And, you know, people have said, John, you're crazy, but there have been times they've said I'm crazy and I've been
wrong.
You
never know.
I am not going to latch on to get rid of this idea. Maybe we can put some words down on this sometime. But I think it's always good. Conspiracy theories are fun. They're good for human beings.
All right, right,
it's like,
right.
Wish something was true, and maybe give you some good skills that you can make something happen just in that way. So, I mean, I just think it's good. So anyway, now have you ever been to any of the Ryder conventions like Con Carolinas or any other things like that? Have you ever done that to network and meet other writers?
No, I have not, but I'm definitely open to it. Like I said, I'm just kind of dipping my toe in the game now, so that's what I'm looking to do.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you're headed on the right path.
Oh, yeah. I've connected with some local like-minded people, and I can't complain with the start we've had, I'll say that.
So what are some of these other people doing in terms of their writing? Are they horror writers or what?
Okay. Well, we got a list of people. So we got Creepy Chris Mellencavich. Now, he is a magician, a freelance illustrator, and a tattooist. And he's worked with the magical community via lecture notes and product releases. So I don't know if I can tell you exactly because I'm not sure that the illustrations have been released yet, so I don't want to say anything. But he's kind of a freelance illustrator there. And, he focuses on occult media that kind of goes unnoticed due to lack of advertising, independent release, or Hollywood presence. And that's Creepy Chris Mellencavich. That's one of them. We got Jason Edwards. And he's an aspiring sci-fi horror writer, independent researcher. He's in the Aiken area. He focuses on, data collection, big data, the surveillance state, and cosmic horror as well. He's also Lovecraft influence. He's off the grid, so he's a Monsters, Madness, and Magic exclusive. So his short fiction is going to be appearing on there as well. And yeah, so you'll get his stuff on there. We got David Rule, and he's a paranormal researcher, and he focuses mainly in the UFO disclosure phenomena and like the history of UFO interactions with ETs and its correlation with ancient alien theories and such.
Well, I'd like to see that.
And we got Zach Dees. He's a writer. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I interrupted you. I'm sorry. He is on the website.
Okay. Right. Zach Dees, he's a writer, and he's a content creator for the site, and he focuses on some of the magical aspects that's embedded in video games, So even if you're into games, comics, conspiracies, if you want stories, there's pretty much literally, we got something for everybody on here.
It sounds fantastic.
Yeah, we're trying to keep content constantly rolling out, so we got something always out there rolling.
I've got an idea, and I'll see. I hadn't thought about asking you to do this, but I wanted to see if you'd be interested in. Do you have a relatively short story you might be willing to read for us here on Scarycast some night?
Sure, that'd be great.
I mean, there's nothing like having an author read their own work, right, Robin?
Exactly.
Yeah,
well, I talk about
that all the time.
Yeah, that would be great. Well, what we could do is finally, after this conference, I'm going to be back in at home for several weeks, and my car's not going to know what to do. I'm not going to be driving it 24 hours a day. So maybe we could come up, Dustin, with a time that you could do one of your shorter stories and read it. I think we would like that, number one. And number two, might help you start a new career as a reader. A lot of folks
right,
read
definitely.
Quite interesting. And I tell you what I'll do, Dustin, if you will read one of your shorts, I will read one of mine. How's that?
That's a deal.
That would be interesting.
It'll put us both on. And here's what else we'll do, Justin. You and I will let Robin McCray host it. We got you in there.
Oh, that would
there
be
we
fun.
Go.
That
so
would be fun.
I will relinquish my hosting duties for that event, and you can host. You can host and be the boss and tell Justin and I what to do and get us started on reading. We can, I guess, give a little abstract or summary of what we're going to be doing. Then go read it, and I think a lot of people would like it. Again, it's always fun to hear.
I think it'd be
fun. Yeah, to hear authors read their own work. So I tell you what, Justin, we'll get talking about that sometime in the next week or two. We'll try to make this happen because I don't know if you know this about me, but Robin does. My motto is sooner than later. So we better get this done, or we'll forget it. We'll forget this wonderful idea. You know?
Yeah,
right.
And his mind
sounds good to me.
Is constantly working.
Well, I certainly don't
that's a good
doubt
thing.
That. Yep. So now I got a question. I got a question for you, Justin. If you had it to do all over again, start out being a writer, what would you do? What would you tell yourself to do differently than you have done in the recent past?
Am I speaking to my younger self, as in my child self?
You're speaking to anyone you would wish to.
Well, I would just say to pursue it, you know, because definitely my main obstacle that I had to overcome within myself was taking the dive, you know, proving to yourself that you can do
it. I have a lot of respect for that, Justin, because I think back on my life with the Bigfoot, which has been since I was a toddler, and I wish now, looking back, you know, it was just like me privately with them, you know, and I liked it that way and it was good, but I kind of, to some degree, I just never really brought it out in front of people because I didn't think anybody believed me anyway.
Right.
And I wish I would have had more confidence in myself back then with them like I do now.
Mm-hmm. Right, definitely. I can definitely understand that. Like I said, that's the main thing I had to overcome myself, was proving to myself, you know, that keep writing because obviously somebody likes it, you know. You're not as bad as you tell yourself.
It sounds like you're fantastic.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That's the best I can give myself.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's good, and you know, I think people are going to enjoy this interview and getting to know a little bit about you. And I think as we do a part two here within a week and let you read one of your stories, because I'm looking forward to hearing it myself. So now, I have a friend, Dave Atwell. He's an author, but he also owns a pressure washing business. He has to have the old other full-time job to keep bills paid. Are you a full-time writer, or do you do any other work things?
I'm sorry, John. I couldn't hear the back end of that. It was kind of some static.
I said, are you a full-time writer, or are you do you have any other endeavors to pay the bills, like another job?
I mean, I do some freelance writing here and there. I definitely have some side things I do, but yeah, definitely this is what I'm trying to make my primary job. I did some boring advertising stuff on the side for some friends in the weird community, but it's definitely nothing. This is what I'm pushing going forward, you know, my passion.
Well, Well, that's great. It's good that some people can really do that in time, working on the things that they love. So I tell you what, this has been great. We're going to get you on next week. I'll schedule a time for you and Robin. We'll let you read one of your shorter stories that you like. And then you can, then once you read it, I'd like for you to tell us about it and, you know, what it really means, because authors always have hidden meanings, or at least a lot of times they do, don't they?
Oh, yes, they do.
All right. Good. So we will uncover the mystery of Justin Young. And we'll do it sometime middle of next week. So I'll touch base with you right after Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, and we'll get that scheduled. And Robin, will you substitute you, and will you be the full-time
oh,
host?
Absolutely. I wouldn't miss it.
All right. Well, that's
that
great.
Great.
And so,
and you know,
okay,
it's right around Halloween, so it's perfect for it.
Well, it is. It is. So we'll definitely talk about that. That would be fun. Well, Justin, I tell you what, I'm up here in Kingsport, Tennessee, and home of the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. We have enjoyed talking with you tonight and look forward to having you on for part two here in a few days and hearing one of your fine works and letting you explain it to us. And we really appreciate it.
And I appreciate you guys so much, and thanks for having
me. No, I've enjoyed it.
Okay. All right, so I tell you what, we will sign off from beautiful Kingsport, Tennessee. We'll be back at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference tomorrow, and we'll post up on the website Monday and Tuesday when we're going to have Justin back to read one of his stories. So, Justin, thank you so much for being our guest tonight.
Take care, Justin. We'll see you soon, or be talking to you soon.
All righty now. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.